concept that I think we got to be reminded of constantly. That God, Jesus, is faithful. Jesus is faithful. Sometimes we're not faithful. How many of y'all have run across that? Sometimes I'm not faithful. Sometimes I don't do what I'm supposed to do. But how many of y'all picture this for just a moment inside of you because you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you really think about this, there's a Holy Spirit moving you that always wants to do the right thing. Amen. How many of y'all found when you're getting ready to do the wrong thing, there's something inside of you letting you know that's not the right way to go? Amen. There's something inside of you because you have been born again. You're not what you used to be. I want you to go with me to John chapter 3, and we want to see this exposed moment of Jesus. The first thing I want you to know is that Jesus Christ will draw you to have dialogue with Him. If you get around Jesus, you'll want to talk to Him. But it is Jesus Christ who draws you to understand that you can be remade in Christ. So first check. How many of you all pray that people who don't know Him will begin to be drawn by Him? That ought to be a constant prayer in this church. In fact, one of my prayers, and some of you that pray, I want you to put this on your list. We need to pray for people that don't know Jesus. And we need to pray. Now, in the traditional church, they call it like this. Pray for the lost. Well, I pray for everybody because we're all lost. I pray for the found a lot, too. And I really pray for those who think they're found but still lost. They're worse than the lost. Because they think they're at home and they're in the woods. Now, here's what I want you to understand today. When you encounter Jesus Christ, you will change. Now, write that down. I will change. Now, the reason I'm talking about this, Fainter, is because I'm scared that in American Christianity, there have been more false Jesuses than the true Jesus. You know, a lot of Americans believe that you can intellectually believe that Jesus exists, do whatever you want to with your life, and in the end, you're going to be all right. And a lot of people believe that. They believe, they say, as long as I can confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior, then I can do what I want to do, and everything's going to be all right in the end. That would be biblically incorrect. Because He says, I got to confess with my mouth and I got to believe in my heart. Now watch this. Once you believe in your heart, the confession of your mouth will move your feet in the direction of your heart. There's no way to follow Jesus and not start walking toward Him. Now I'm going to show you, even when you're curious about Jesus, you will walk toward Him. As a follower of Jesus, what are we constantly doing? Walking toward what? Come on, y'all got to work with me today. Y'all got that it snowed stare on your face today. Dale, they look like they did on Thursday morning. Everybody going crazy. How many of y'all realize we need to pray for our city? We have a large proportion of people who have absolutely no common sense in this city. I saw it Thursday morning. I have never in my life. We need in our public schools, it's just a suggestion, we need to have one class, Dale, just for an hour called Common Sense. And we're just going to name that class. It took me 2.5 hours from get to Alberton to get to town. I thought I was going to be smart, use some common sense. I was going to go down Small House Road. You know on Small House Road when it slants like this, the road slants over there toward where Miss Pink used to live. Well, guess what everybody decided to do? Stay right in the middle of that road. Come on, it's a solid sheet of ice. You don't have ice gripper tires. I watched 4 people in front of me just slide down that hill. And I'm thinking, I'm praying for them. I said, Lord, I hope they don't hit that oncoming car. But inside I'm going, they idiot. Because what I'd done is already pulled up in somebody's yard and leveled my truck off going through there. Well, the guys behind me went, that guy's got a pretty good idea. I figure it's easier to fix that rut than it is the side of my truck. Amen? Use some common sense. Well, just poor Dale, we prayed for you Thursday because everybody thought you were God. And I told a few people, they said, what about Dale Brown? I said, I know him. He ain't God. I said, neither does he create the weather And obviously he can't predict it either. And I said, and he got helped out by one of his buddies, Chris Allen, goes to church with him. Here's what I want us to know. You know why we need moments like Thursday? We need moments like Thursday morning to let us know that our life can change in a second. That what we think is predictable is only an illusion of our control. That in a heartbeat's moment, God can say, I will turn your world upside down. You see, God's in charge and He will draw you toward Him. Now, if you're going to follow Him, where are we constantly going? Every Sunday, we're getting a little closer to who? Oh, tell me again. I like that. Who are we getting closer to? Every Wednesday night, who are we getting closer to? Every Friday night. Yeah, y'all had to think about that one, didn't you? See, on Friday night, you need to get toward Him, too. And on Saturday night, guess what? Nicodemus. Third chapter of Gospel of John. Beautiful chapter. I want to give you three things that come out of the third chapter of the Gospel of John. I could preach on the third chapter of the Gospel of John my entire career. But you got to capture this. We move toward Jesus. Jesus moves human beings toward Him, no matter who they are. Now, Nicodemus is interesting because he's part of the Jewish ruling council. Just say it with me. The boy is religious. Come on. The boy is religious. Now, I find great hope in the third chapter of the Gospel of John because this means God will deal with religious people. Isn't that neat, Freddie? And here's what also we're going to learn. Religious people need to be saved. How many of y'all had to learn your religion wouldn't save you? How many of y'all had religion before you had Jesus? I did. I went to church. I here's what I found. It was easier to be a Baptist than it is a follower of Jesus Christ. Being a Baptist is pretty easy because being a Baptist, you can complain and you can fuss and you can talk about people. As long as you give 10% of your income, read from the King James Bible and believe he's risen and he's coming back. That's it. That's the total extent of having faith. And say, we want to see the world get saved. Just mimic that. Say that. Man, that's a very shallow Jesus. In fact, that's a false Jesus. Jesus calls us into a new life. And He draws us toward life. Jesus always will draw you toward life. Well, Nicodemus gets curious. The first verse of the third chapter of the Gospel of John says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. The boy had credentials. The man had religious certification. The man was seeking, where is God and how does God function? He got drawn by Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Watch this. He got drawn by Jesus. Now, here's the point. For those of us that are going to follow Jesus Christ, we ought to live such lives that it draws people to ask questions. Here's the problem with our evangelism in the 21st century. We want to go tell everybody about Jesus. If you watch Jesus, He lived in such a way everybody wanted to know. Isn't that interesting? You see, I think we ought to be a people that would draw people to ask the question instead of always having to tell the story. And one way you tell the story is by living the life. See, people ought to know when you go to Shogun and you eat, they ought to go, something's different about those folks. When you go to the ball game, something's different about those folks. When you go to work, something's different about those folks. Does your life draw people toward Jesus? Think about it. Or do you draw people toward you? Your concepts, your makeup, your structures, your philosophies. Or does your life draw people toward Jesus? Now, Nicodemus was drawn toward Jesus. He saw what he was doing and reckoned it from God. You know, here's one of the things I love about Hillview. The only way you can explain this church is God has done something. I'm not sure yet what He's done, Jeff, but He's done something. Amen? How many of y'all glad to know that something from God is enough to start drawing people? Do something from God. Watch this. One act of kindness can lead somebody to question who your God is. Well, Nicodemus said, you know what? He said, I want to talk to you, Jesus. And here's what I want you to know. The first thing that we see about Jesus is approachable. Jesus is approachable. I want you to note. Watch this. Jesus didn't go get Nicodemus. Nicodemus was drawn to Jesus. And he said, I want to talk to you, Jesus. He said, he came to Jesus at night. Why did he come at night? Because he was scared somebody might see him. How many of you all got enough room to let people come at night? Come anytime. You all hear me sometimes an invitation. Watch this. If you've never been to church, don't you think it might be a little crazy to walk up here in front of all these people and begin to discuss your spirituality and your eternity? Some people need to come at night. Some people need to call on the phone and say, Pastor, I need to know about this Jesus. How many of you all are willing to talk about Jesus whenever they come? Yeah, well, Jesus was willing to tell him. He came at night and he said, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him. Nicodemus saw that in Jesus' life, his life came from God. How many of you all, your life comes from God? See what I'm talking about? You'll draw people if your life comes from God. Now, the truth is, all life comes from who? All death comes from where? John 10:10. We'll get that a little later on, remember? Jesus said, I've come that you might have a full and abundant life. He says, the thief comes only, and he shows the confinement of the activity of Satan is to steal, kill, and destroy. So the things that we deal with in life that are destroying humanity, stealing from them, keeping them down, they come from satanic resource. But the things that bring life come from who?
God.
God, absolutely. Christ. He said, I can tell you're from God. Now, how many of y'all have reckoned and come this far? You've reckoned that Jesus has come from God. Now, that's the first step. That'll get you curious. I wonder if Jesus has come from God. But guess what? That's not the total truth. The truth is, he's not just a rabbi. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a prophet. He is all of those. But he is God. Now that's where our minds go. How can a human be totally God? I'll tell you how. When God wants to make something happen against nature, God can. Because he who created nature can defy it.
Amen.
That's good news. Amen. That means when the doctor says we're out, Jesus can say, not yet.
Amen.
See, that's the good news. Healing power of God. Now look at this. Jesus begins to state truth. First thing I want you to know, Jesus is always approachable. Second thing I want you to know, he always tells the truth. He's always what? Approachable, and he is truth. Now there's questions. People have questions about Jesus. That's great. I still got a ton of questions. Watch this. I follow Jesus every day and I got a ton of questions that I don't have answers to yet. That's okay. I kind of like that. That means that God is bigger than my understanding. How many of y'all got a God bigger than your understanding? You know, and I get asked questions all the time. Preacher, why do some people get healed and why do some people not get healed? I don't know. I just know God tells us to pray. Make sense? Why is it that some people stand up and preach and thousands of people come to the Lord and other people stand up and preach the same text and nobody hears it? I don't know. God is bigger than my understanding. But I know that all of us are invited to a conversation with Jesus. And Nicodemus takes his opportunity. And he asks a very important question. What's his question? Read there. Tell me his question. What is his question? Anybody know? Nicodemus asks a question. How can I what? Well, but that's not his question. He said, for no one could do the miraculous, the signs he was doing, if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again.
Amen.
Now, I really want you to understand this today. Nicodemus was seeing the surface activity of God. He was seeing the outward demonstration of God's power, miraculous signs. Now, in this same gospel, it says this. You got to deal with this, okay? Don't look for the signs. Look for the creator of the signs. How many of you all get all messed up because you look at the sign and not the sign maker? Huh? Jesus says only an adulterous people seek signs and wonders. Why do you think they sell in America? Because we're adulterous people. Hadn't y'all figured that out by now? Watch this. We live in America. You don't have to have substance to sell. You ought to know that by now. You don't have to have a plan. You just have to have style. Watch this. I'll tell you right now. We could increase the attendance of our church. We could have every service here packed. If I'd just lighten up. If I'd sugar up, cut my goatee so I didn't look like a wrestler. And sweeten my hair up and put my suit on and made sure I smelled good and looked good and smiled a lot. And I'm going to tell you what, it would fill up in here because I live in an adulterous culture. They don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what makes them feel good for the moment. So we don't want to hear go get a job. We want to hear who's going to give it to me. We got 60% of our culture in America that would rather hear that. We don't want to hear what my responsibility is. We want to hear, what will somebody give me? That's the world we've developed in America. Totally 180 opposite of what we were founded on. If it smiles, if it sizzles, if it pops, if it makes me feel good for the what? Now, I just had to think for a minute. Do you reckon Nicodemus wanting to see a sign just for a minute? Alan, you know what I'm talking about? You know, Jesus, just share a little of that Jesus magic with me. Jesus, my hand feeling a little tight. Will you touch it? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, if you're curious about who I am, I'm going to take you to the bullseye. I am the one that reestablishes your destiny. He said, no one can participate. No one can see. Note exactly what he says. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God until he's born again. I tell you today that church never makes sense until salvation comes. You can sit in here and you can listen and you can watch people worship, but church is absolutely a crazy place till you get saved. When you get saved, you get new eyes. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they've been born what? Oh, what a crazy word. Now, in the Greek, there's two connotations here. Born again, meaning having another birth experience, but another word for again is above. Both of these terms work well. You got to be born from above. You got to have a birth that is not natural, but you have to have a birth that is supernatural to see the kingdom of God. Hold on just a second. Look at your neighbor and say, I did not know you were supernatural. Come on, tell them. See, you don't know what's in here. You see, nobody knows. Alan Reed, you and your wife are supernatural. What do you think about that? Just do that to Kathy in the morning. Just wake her up and say, hey, baby, you are a supernatural woman. And see what happens. Amen? Huh? See, if we'd live supernatural, you wouldn't need Viagra. Amen?
Come on,
via kingdom of God.
Come on.
I'm telling you the truth. Watch this. I live in a world that is trying to take the natural and establish the supernatural. You want war on poverty? His name is Jesus. You know who will take care of poverty? The kingdom of God. But we want to go with the natural to only do what the supernatural can do. See, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't care about you till I got saved. Anybody else want to get honest? Until I really understood what it meant to be born again, I'm just going to tell y'all the truth. I'm going to tell you the number one guy I cared about, Stephen Lee Ayers.
Amen.
I cared about his finances. I cared about his mission. I cared about his purpose. I cared about his destiny. But the rest of y'all could go to hell. How's that for honest? And when the only time I really cared about you is when you benefited my kingdom. Anybody else like that? Three people. The rest of y'all lying dogs. Every one of you need to repent today. Repent, every one of you. Be baptized and being born again. Y'all know that. Amen? Come on, I got to wake y'all up. Remember when you were 20. Now, some of y'all got to work that back, okay? Remember when you were 20. Merle, that's a long time ago for you, but what were you focused on? Now, be careful, we in church. What were you focused on when you were 20? Me. My career, my destiny, my kids, my wife. Now, hold on, I got to let you know this, because me, myself, and I. How many of y'all have been burdened by me, myself, and I? All three of them hanging out with you all the time. At church, I want to tell you, how many of y'all would like to see this church break loose? It's got to be born again. And I would propose to you that we just continue to be born again. There's every area of my life is going to be born again. My thoughts have got to be born again. Because guess what? What I used to think was impossible. Hold on, check this out. What I used to think, Miss Pink, was impossible has now become possible because I'm looking at it through the kingdom of God. How many of y'all glad to know what is impossible for us is possible with God? You see, that's the power of the kingdom. Now, no, it's not about the church. It's about the kingdom. It's not about the church. It's about the kingdom. Everybody's welcome to the kingdom. Even religious people like Nicodemus. He said, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? What did I just tell y'all? What is impossible with what? Man, humanity, is? Somebody tell your neighbor that. You're possible. See, watch this. Somebody's here today, they don't know Jesus Christ. I guarantee you what the devil's fed you. How many of y'all heard this in your life? You did too much wrong to ever be saved. How many of y'all ever had that bit of information in your head? Come on. I mean, you really messed up. You drank three cases instead of two. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you went one case too many. Huh? How many of y'all are just arrogant little snots? I could point out some of y'all hadn't fully recovered from that, but I won't do that. Huh? My way? How many of y'all had my way disease? Oh, come on. My way. How many of y'all held on to sin in your life thinking it was going to bless you? Come on, these are all real issues. You see, I got to be born again. How many of y'all finally discovered this? The less I sin, the better my week goes. Nick, does that work? Now, first of all, here's what I want you to know. Anybody can be changed. So watch this. In Hillview, I'm not going to preach long on this because I think you all really believe it. You know how I know you believe it? Not because you say it, because I look around this auditorium and I see all kinds of different people from all kinds of different lights. In fact, this church is the Gospel of John. I've seen Nicodemus here. Lord, he's come in with all of his bumper stickers on his car. There's Nicodemus. I'm going religious my way into heaven. And I've seen the woman at the well. We got a few women at the well that have come to this church. You know, they've tried to find a man that made them happy, and finally they learned the truth. God didn't make a man to make them happy. You should have learned that in Genesis. There was a man and a woman there, and she's talking to a snake. That ought to tell you about the man.
Yes, come on.
Amen, women. You know why? Because the brother wouldn't talk. Adam. See, man, if you ain't going to talk to your wife, a snake will. You better. That's an old story. You don't take care of her, the snake will talk to her. You better watch out. There'll always be a forbidden fruit. I mean, it's just an old story. It just keeps running over and over. It's like Groundhog's Day. Y'all remember that movie, Bill Murray, Groundhog's Day? Just same sin over and over again. Jesus said, no, I'm going to rebirth you to a new concept, a new kingdom, a new location. And Nicodemus, he said, how can an old man go back into his mama womb? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and in the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now here's what I want you to know. It must be a divine encounter. Now be very careful. Here's what a lot of people do. They just say Jesus exists. Is everybody listening? Give me a head nod. You're listening. You're not just like punching your 8 o'clock spiritual clock. You're listening. This is very serious. Very serious stuff. Just saying you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you believe in Him. What do you think, Dr. Whittle? You've pondered this in the depths of the Greek language. Especially the Gospel of John. The Spirit must enter my life. Amen. And guess what? Most of you have had that. You say, well, how many of y'all have ever asked this question? How do I know if I'm really saved? Anybody ever asked that question other than your pastor? Y'all must not ask many questions. What do y'all do? Just wake up, eat, everything's okay. I wish I could live y'all's lives, man. Y'all never get mad. You never get mad on Scottsville Road. You never have anything go wrong. Man, I must just be the test case of humanity that's awful. I don't know about you, man. I have a human experience. I love Jesus, but I have a human experience. People tick me off. My wife ticks me off occasionally. You know, I have to struggle with this thing called faith. Any of y'all have that moment? Nicodemus is scratching his head going, how am I going to get born again? Because I can't, my mama, she's an old woman, I'm an old man. That ain't going to happen. It won't be by the natural. Jesus said it's by the Spirit. Now listen, when you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, let me ask you a question. You believe He will? Now that's where everything changes. Because once your sins are forgiven, you have created. Now watch, here's what I want you to know. When something is taken away, something else is put in. Now here's what a lot of Christians do. You're walking around empty. You know what I mean? You're like, well, the Lord took away my sins. You're right. That's absolute truth. But He didn't just take away your sins. He took away what was dead to birth you into what is alive. This is where a lot of us miss it. I'm not just sitting here forgiven, waiting for the good ship, gospel ship, to come pick me up at the end of time. Oh, no. I have been born again. I have been made new. I have been created to function supernaturally in the natural. You see, that's a believer. Good. Six of you agree with it. We're halfway to changing the world. God had 12, and that's all it took. 12 disciples who were under the influence of a supernatural birth. So I've been born again. Now, that's not a political term. It is a happening. See, I'm so sad some of my colleagues have taken this term, born-again Christian, and they've made it a political term. No, it's not a political term. It is a way of life. Think about it. What's been born again in you?
Why?
Well, you got to get it detailed. Robert, has my marriage been born again? Has my job been born again? Woo! Kathy, you talking about having a staff of teachers. Can you imagine having a staff of teachers that had a born-again reality? You say, well, the government won't allow it. The government can't stop it. You see, if you quit wearing your religion on a bumper sticker and start living it in your life, how do you stop somebody's life? This is where the church got it all wrong. Say prayer in school. Man, I prayed all the time in school. Dear God, I have not studied for this test. Please have mercy on me. That's a prayer of mercy. And God said, study next time. F. Cassie, you got to have a born again understanding to teach special needs kids. Because what does the natural say? They're unworthy. What does the supernatural say? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. You see, church, if we would ever wake up to supernatural power, to the born-again experience, the church would automatically flow. And here's what I'm pushing for, some automatic faith. I'm tired of all this created faith. I want us to just have automatic faith. We ought to just grow naturally. We ought to love one another because we love one another. We ought to love one another because we've been born again. Amen? And this is real. Nicodemus says, I don't understand it, but I believe it can happen. Well, guess what? He goes on and says, how can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, Jesus said, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak on heavenly things? I just want you to know your faith takes you beyond where you are. And I wanted you to see this about Jesus. Jesus exposed is to take us beyond what we can see. I just think that's a great gift. Not only am I saved, my eyes have been reconfigured. Not only am I saved, but because I am saved and because you are saved, my legs will move to different directions. Because Jesus has come into my life and because I get to live in a different kingdom. What is yet to be seen can be seen by those who believe. Amen. What's this? Why are we a multi-ethnic church? Is that right? We've been here. Did y'all realize come second week of March, we've been together for 18 years. Other than Elizabeth, y'all are the second longest thing I've ever stayed with in my whole life. And Elizabeth's under covenant. What 18 years? Marla, you've heard me preach a lot of sermons. You ever heard me preach on a multicultural church? Not one time. Because here's what I know. I'm fixing to preach on this right here in the scripture. If he be lifted up, all people. See, it's seeing with new eyes. Guess what? When we look at Jesus, you don't have a racial issue when you look through Jesus' eyes because the kingdom is made up of all people. You have a racial issue when you try to take the supernatural and view it through the natural. See, Jesus doesn't have a black church, white church, green church, Hispanic church. He has the church of the kingdom. He doesn't have a downtown church, an uptown church, an out in the country church, a rural church, a small church, a large church. He never defines the church like that. He defines it like this: obedient church, disobedient church. Church who loves Jesus, church who doesn't love Jesus. Church is halfway, church of Laodicea. The church is neither hot nor cold, or the church that's boiling hot or freezing cold. He never defines the church by its size of congregation, but he does define it, Dr. Hale, by its perspective of his salvation. Mm-hmm. Can you see what only he can see? Jesus exposed. So here's the good news. Jesus is willing to always have a conversation. Jesus is approachable, and when we approach Jesus, we'll hear how to get heaven. Three things are going. You ready? We'll hear how to receive heaven. We'll hear how to activate heaven. And we can be sure of heaven. That's being born again. How many of y'all guys know we can see heaven? Watch this. I see heaven in Freddie. Now there's a miracle. That you can look at a boy from Butler County and see the things of God. Who would have thought that? I've seen Edmondson County people carry the things of God. What do y'all think about that? Huh? Look at your neighbor and say, you know, you carry the things of God. Come on, tell them. Come on, come on. Y'all work with these. Does everybody understand this today? I'm about to quit. Does everybody got this? Now here's what God goes on to say. He said, now to make this happen, he says, I got to be lifted up. This is a heaven move. No one's ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus points out his point right off the bat? Nicodemus, you got to be born again. I come from the kingdom of heaven to bring you to the kingdom of heaven. I'm speaking of things you cannot understand on your own. You must receive me to understand them. What, can I help some of y'all clear up? How many of y'all are waiting to figure out God before you receive him? Can I show you how illogical that is? That's like trying to turn a lamp on without it being plugged in. So you can understand how the lamp flows, or you got to have the power to have the understanding. Here's what I'm telling you, and we got a lot of intellects in this congregation, and I'm all for intellectual stuff. I think you got to know intellectually too. Watch this. My intellect will be born again. My intellect's reborn. I see things now in the scripture that I could never see before. Why? Because I've been reborn to see them. It was just interesting to me that what he says, David, is, I help you see the kingdom of God. You know what I find? If I got to be on a panel somewhere, which I never will. In fact, I told Classy, I said, Classy, one day I may get into politics. You know what she said? She said, Dad, you would never get a vote. I said, why not, Classy? She said, you tell the truth bluntly. She said, they would. She said, nobody would vote for you because you just tell people, like, get a job. She said, what do you think that's going to do to 60% of the population that doesn't want one? They're voting you out. I said, Classy, you know why I do that? Because here's what I know. The truth will set you free. Amen. Gospel of John.
Yes.
Truth will set you what?
Free.
Here's the truth for us, church. I want y'all to get hungry over this message. And I want you to tell it. It says the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. Now here's what we're born into. First of all, let me go over the 3 points today. Jesus is approachable. He's approachable. He will draw you to Him. Jesus will tell the truth so you can see what you cannot see. That's point number two, the truth. No one can see this unless they have a connection from Jesus. Third point, Jesus made it possible. You won't do it on your own. Does that make sense? And I guess there's really 4 points. God's love is beyond our reality. And I want you to hear this, for God so loved the... I'm going to keep telling you that. Does it say, for God so loved the church? No. It says, for God so loved the world. Ever derelict, ever sinner, ever wayward thought, ever immoral act. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Now here's where your pastor has absolutely no negotiation room. Jesus is the only way into heaven. And I know that bothers a lot of people. They say, what about all those good Muslims? And what about all the good Buddhists? And what about all the good Krishnas? And what about all the Bahas? And what about all the Mumumushalabadas? And what about all of these people that have come together in a great spiritual conscience? You know, Nicodemus had a great spiritual conscience, but he needed to be born again. You can have spiritual consciousness without spiritual rebirth. Guess what? You don't have to know Jesus to feel bad about hungry people in Africa. If you have a conscience, you ought to feel bad about hungry people in Africa. But if you want to see hungry kids in Africa who are starving, die and go to heaven, then you got to follow Jesus.
Right.
See, I can feed them without Jesus. I can't change them, though. I'm limited to the moment, and my rebirth is eternal. Make sense? I really pray, church, that every one of y'all start getting a compassion that you don't want people to miss life. I still want you to miss life. Don't miss it. I've also discovered this. Life's pretty short.
Amen.
How many of y'all found that out? I found out you get older quicker than you thought you were going to. And so since I've kind of came to that conclusion, guess what I figured? I figured you'll die before you think you're going to. I mean, one day you'll just wake up and go, man, I'm dying today. I never thought I'd die this quick. You know, you're 105, but you never thought it'd be that quick. God takes us beyond our reality into His. For God so loved the world. In Hillview, I want to tell you, we're going to continue to love the world. We're going to continue to welcome people in here. And religious people are going to continue to say, I'm not going to go to a church where young people have a ball cap on. Well, let me tell you what. If a ball cap can move your faith, you don't have one. And if and guess what? Here's what I'm telling you. Before you speak, know your history. You don't even know why people dress up for church. It has nothing to do with honoring God. It has to do with we had an industrial age in Europe. And finally, the poor people, because of the textile industry, could wear clothes that looked like rich people. You know why we dressed up for church? The same reason we always have. So we can come and pretend to be something we're not. Y'all remember those churches where everybody came busted in that looked like a fashion show? I remember ladies in the church, I thought they was going to burn up walking down the aisle in pantyhose. That's one of the memories as a child. We had this one sister and she'd always come down to get a Sunday school pen. I thought she's going to ignite one day. I mean, that thing started swishing from the back aisle. We had a quarter of a mile aisle in that church. I thought this lady going to be on fire by the time she gets to the stage. Beth Ann, you remember that? Huh? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot that you'd be critical like me, but you heard them, didn't you? I thought that's a movement of the Holy Spirit. Whew. Dangerous. People could ignite it right there in the house of God. No, guess what? That's why you dressed up. You didn't even know why you dressed up. You dressed up because of Rome and Greece and Europe. See, if we'd have read the Word of God, if we'd have actually just focused on the Word of God, Jesus says, come as you are at night, and I will tell you that there's a kingdom that you cannot see. I will tell you that the Son of Man will be lifted up, just like Moses was lifted up, and everything will be changed. For my Daddy so loves the world that He sent me, that whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting. Be born again. Be born above. Be born anew. So you can see what you previously could not see. Any questions? Is that clear today? Is this real? Okay. Some of y'all need to meet Jesus today. He made it real clear for us today. Guess what? Some of y'all are going, man, I need to be baptized. Ready? Hey. Okay. Let's get baptized. We also have Nick at Night baptisms here. And they're accredited. They work. We've seen people baptized at night. We've seen people baptized in the morning. We've seen people baptized on Tuesdays. We've seen people baptized on Sundays. Guess what we found? They all work the same. We have found that Tuesday baptisms are just as sufficient as Sunday baptisms. Because we're not being baptized into a day of the week. We're being baptized into the power of Jesus Christ. And we have found that He's on Tuesday just like He is on Sunday. We have found that He is a 7-day week of God. He's awake 24 hours. And apparently, Jesus stays up at night. Aren't y'all glad Jesus wasn't religious? He'd be in bed at 8 o'clock. Aren't you glad Nicodemus, when he called Jesus, Jesus picked up his cell phone? Aren't you glad he didn't go, oh, I'm watching the news. I don't want to fool with Nick. Boy, I tell you what pounds me about Nicodemus. Jesus speaks in dialogues with religious people. So guess what that means? Jesus wants me to dialogue with religious people that wear me out and want to argue about every word and want to discuss 14 different translations of the text when really Jesus wants to give them a full and abundant life. Amen. Now, listen, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, why are you hesitating? Now, I got friends, they do this. They say, Ayers, I tell you what, one day I'm going to receive Jesus. But right now, this week, I'm going to stay in hell. Why y'all like living in hell? Okay, I'll give it this. It has some temporary exhilaration. Would you agree with me? Sin exhilarates and stimulates the natural. Or you can have, for God so loved the world and loved you in the world and will come into your life and forgive you of your sins, and you can have a ride into the eternal supernatural. Which one do you desire? Nicodemus wanted to know. Jesus said, here it is. Jesus exposed. And today, guess what you need to do if you haven't had this born anew, again, above experience? Here's where it starts. How many of y'all know you've sinned?
All right.
You know it. You got it down. Some of you are going, well, now I'm just as good as anybody else here in the auditorium. Please, if you're using Hillview as your example, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble.
Come on.
I mean, anybody that comes to Hillview and goes, well, I'm better than so, that don't take much to get up over here, amen? Because we welcomed everybody that's messed up really bad. That's great. I'm glad. I'm glad that we can honestly say as a church, yes, we've all sinned. We've all broken the Ten Commandments. We've not done what God asked us to do. Even our religious people here are getting healed. They realize they've sinned too. Now, they've never drank a beer. They've never smoked a cigarette. And they've only cussed in private. Nobody's ever heard them. But all of a sudden they realize, wait a minute. I've dishonored my mother and father. I've gossiped. I've been arrogant. I've been prideful. I've been angry. I've held grudges. And those things kill you too. Oh, yeah. They do. What did y'all see Jesus' number one objective is here? Let me say it one more time. For God so loved the world. Wow. It's a big place. China, Indonesia, Brazil, Venezuela, Iraq. Does God love Muslims? God love terrorists? Doesn't like what they do. Did God die for terrorists? Why are they terrorists?
Because they won't listen to Him.
Haven't been born again. They're trying, watch this, if you listen to Muslim theology, it's trying to create what only God can create through the natural.
Amen.
So since through the natural, you can't convert an infidel, you need to kill them. See, Jesus got a much better plan. When Jesus looks at the infidel, He says, in the name of Jesus, be free of your sin. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
When Allah looks at the infidel, He either says, I will accept you or I will eliminate you. I need a God that is into grace, not elimination. What about you? Because guess what? If you put my good works on a weight scale and God's great works on the other side of the scale, I never measure up. Anybody measure up? I mean, I've helped a couple old ladies across the street. I've been polite. I've held the door open. You know, I've given a couple of dollars to Kiwanis Club, you know, Rotary, helped some diabetes, that kind of thing. But guess what? The works of God, they always outweigh my feeble attempts. Amen. So I got to be born again. Today, you need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. And today, I know You're the Savior. I'm going to believe what You said. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be made new. What do you think it's going to do? What says, you know why you don't ask God to do that? Why do you think a lot of people don't ask God to do that? Scared to be saved. Well, it'll work. It'll work. I mean, I realize it'll work. You watch this. Try this out. Come up here to the altar and ask God. God, I need somebody to witness to this week and see what happens. Come up here and say, God, I want to see a miracle this week and see what happens. No, I mean, pray it and walk out of here and believe it. And I guarantee you'll see it happen. You know why we don't want to do that? We'll see it. Because guess what? A lot of y'all been born again. And so some of y'all need to come receive Christ today. Some of y'all need to step up and get baptized today. Some of y'all need to come and pray in this altar right now and say, God, I know one guy that's taking this commission serious in the 8 o'clock service. Who is it? About reaching people for Jesus. Keith, absolutely. I need to see some of the rest of y'all in the baptistry. See, y'all think I'm kidding about that. Because y'all been to church a long time and y'all think we're playing pastor church game. I tell you to go reach the world, and y'all go, amen, hallelujah, praise God. And then we walk out on Monday and never do it. Well, I got another word for that, but I ain't going to use it. Because y'all send me emails. Here's truth. Truth is, every one of us are responsible for the kingdom of God that's in us. And we need to let it out at work. Amen? How many of y'all invited somebody to come hear the truth here today? Good. Bob did. I know Whittinghill does. Lord, he broadcasted all over. I need. Listen. Don't leave it to... Have y'all seen your pastors? Have y'all ever looked at the pictures on the wall? If y'all can think that can reach the world, y'all got greater faith than you can imagine. Look at them. We put them up on the wall to just let you know, depend on Jesus. No human's going to get you where the supernatural can take you. Need everybody's help. I'm just asking you to join in the fight, guys, and it's going to be tough, and we're going to be opposed. I'm telling you the truth. We're going to be opposed because guess what? I believe little poor boys and girls can be great people. I believe that. That's why I get in trouble. I believe poor people can be changed. You want to get in trouble in America, just stand up for poor people. I believe poor people can get better. I was one of them. I believe that drug addicts can get clean. I believe those who've been trapped in sexual immorality don't have to stay there. Isn't that wild? I believe you don't always have to be a womanizer if you're a womanizer. Isn't that cool? I mean, I believe crazy things like you can actually be stable and live out your marriage. You believe that? Yeah. I believe kids that think they're hopeless can find hope and become extraordinary people. Or we wouldn't be doing all this. You know why? I read John chapter 3. And he said, when you're born again, nothing's ever the same. So let's stand together. Lord Jesus, just like you drew Nicodemus to your conversation, I ask now that you might draw somebody else to your conversation. Lord, we ask very boldly today, not arrogantly, but boldly today at this altar, that there not be a single human life leave this place unless they're connected to the eternal reality of grace. Wow. God, we know that's possible, that you could save everybody in here, for you so love the world. Lord, we pray for those who've received you but not been baptized, that they would step up and be obedient. So, Father, they don't have to question whether you're real. Lord, we pray for those with hurting hearts today. We pray for Jerry Aller at this altar that he will wake up beyond what we can see, Lord. We pray a supernatural miracle in his life as his church, believing that's possible. So, Lord, I pray right now for those who just need to come and say, God, I need to be loved by you. I need to realize it. I need to know it. I need to know that I've been born again. Guess what? This altar's fixing to be released. Come on, don't stand back. Don't stand back today. Don't stand away from it. Come into it. In the name of Jesus, he loves you. Come be touched by him. Come be changed by him. Come be inspired by him. Let's come together at this altar and see what God might do in our lives. Come on, church. Whoever it is that needs to find Jesus, let go of stuff. It's killing you. Breathe in life. It's making you. Come on, just let this altar be a place of where God changes you right now. Amen.